you'd like to turn to Psalm 23. Began with an introduction, and then last week we started looking at the parameters of living the Psalm 23 life, and started to look at the setting of the psalm, where the psalm takes place, which of course is in this life. And the setting is implied throughout the psalm. We learn a lot of things about this world in which we're called to live, in this world in which we're called to serve the Lord, and that we can enjoy the truths that are revealed here in Psalm 23. By way of quick review, we see it's a place where a shepherd is needed. The Lord is my shepherd, implying, of course, that it's a place of need. It's a place of danger. It says in verse 1, I shall not want or lack. The reason being, the Lord is my shepherd. But that phrase, I shall not want, shows that it is a place. The world is a place of lack. The world is a place of want. It's a place of scarcity. We see it's a place where rest is needed. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The implication, again, being that the world can be a very demanding and laborious place, a place where we can become spiritually weary, spiritually exhausted, and our shepherd, he maketh, and that's continual, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures, because he knows that we need spiritual rest. This isn't just taking a nap. It's the key there is green pastures, and we'll get to that at a later date. It's a place where refreshment is needed. He leadeth, again, continual. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It doesn't say he led me. Unfortunately, that's how many live their life, is one time, long time ago, the Lord led me to the still waters. But living this life, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The implication being, again, that the world is a place of thirst, a place of fear. It's a place where restoration is needed. Again, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. If our soul stayed right, wouldn't need to be restored. But he restoreth, and it's continual. That means that we continually get off path. But he restoreth, he continually. Again, that goes along with Psalm 136 that Brother Tim read, his mercy endureth forever. We fall, we falter, and the Lord continues to restore our soul. He does this by making us lie down in green pastures. He does this by leading us beside the still waters. We see also it's a place where guidance is needed. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The indication is that the world is a place of ignorance. It's a place where we need to be led. Because if we're not led, we sheep will follow other sheep and may wander off. So it's a place of ignorance. It's a place of waywardness. It's a place of error. That's why he leads us in right paths. It's a place of delusion. It's a place of fallacy. But the shepherd leads his sheep. And he does this in many ways, and we'll get to that also. It's a place where courage is needed. In verse 4, I will fear no evil. The implication is that there is evil. So it's a place where evil resides. It's a place where people are fearful. It's a place where it's very easy to become anxious, to be overcome with anxiety and uneasiness. But again, with everything that we've already said, I will not fear, or I will fear no evil. And that's by way of review, and then we'll continue. It's a place where comfort and protection are needed. Verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The implication is that the world is a very precarious place. It is a place of peril. It is a place of uncertainty. It's a place where we can become discouraged. It's a place where we will experience sorrow. But the Lord, the shepherd, is there to comfort us. He's also there to protect. Thy rod and thy staff. Those were used to come. They were used for a lot of things, but one of the means was to protect. To protect. We see it's a place where provision is needed. Again, verse 5, thou preparest the table before me. This is why he said in verse 1, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not lack. And I'm not on my own to find food, but he prepares a table before me. And he does so in the presence of our enemies, which means that things do not have to be perfect for us to sit at the table that God, the shepherd, prepares for us. Thou preparest the table before me. Implication is the world's a place of emptiness once again. It's a place of famine. It's a place of malnutrition. You will not find spiritual food at the world's tables. You'll find spiritual food. You'll find the nutrition that you need for your soul at the table he prepares. Thou preparest a table. Again, we'll get on that at a later date, but he prepares with great thought. He prepares a table before me. That is, he knows exactly what I need at that particular time. And he sets that table. And he does so, he sets it before me. He doesn't hide it, but it's before us. It's right there. And this is in the presence of our enemies. Many times, when we're surrounded by enemies, what's our focus? The enemies. When we really need to be looking for the table that the Lord has already set right before us. And again, it's a place of enemies, mine enemies. So the world's a place of opposition. The world's a place of hatred. It's a place of strife. It's a place of warfare. It's a place where anointing is needed. Verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. Now the shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with oil, or you pour oil to give the sheep relief from annoying flies. So what this tells us is that the world is a place of vexation. The world is a place of annoyance. And again, for those who have a spiritual nature, you will find this world can be very annoying. This world can be a place of great disturbance. But the shepherd Again, he anoints us, and he does this continually. Does this continually. And it's a place, again, along the lines of what Brother Tim was speaking of. It's a place where the goodness and mercy of God is needed. Verse 6, surely. It's a word of assurance, a word of confidence. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. The implication is that of personal sin. There's no need for mercy if there's not sin. No need of mercy if there's nothing wrong with us. The fact that mercy follows us shows that we deal with sin every day. It also speaks of our unworthiness. So the world in which we live, the world in which we can live in Psalm 23. Again, everything doesn't have to line up. Everything doesn't have to be just right for us to live Psalm 23. Because in this world, things will never be all right. It's not going to happen. If that's what you're waiting for, it's not going to happen. So we can live this life, the Psalm 23, in the midst of enemies and haters of God. The world's a place filled with trouble, a place filled with difficulty upon difficulty. We're going to suffer in this world. We're going to have some sorrow in this world. There are going to be adversities in the world. There's going to be problems in the world. There's going to be disturbances. It's a place of great strain, again, especially for one who has a spiritual nature, a child of God. It's a place of great strain. It's a world that we can easily find ourselves in dire straits. Things may be going just like we want them to for a little while, and in an instant, we can find ourselves in dire straits. It's a place where there's pitfalls just about everywhere. There's traps that Satan has set just about everywhere. These can leave us maimed. These can leave us wounded. We all have scars from the world. The world is a cruel place. It's a world where there's one obstacle after another. You get over one obstacle, you get through one obstacle, you get around whatever. It won't be long, there'll be another one. And it may be even larger, maybe even more challenging, more trying. But the world is a place of obstacles. It's a wasteland. If you're looking for spiritual food, the world itself is a wasteland. But it's in the midst of all of this that Psalm 23 applies. It's a place of dilemma. Find ourselves, and we create our own dilemmas. People create their own problems. I'm not saying that every problem we have is of our own making, but I would render to guess that more than half of them are. We create our own dilemmas by doing the wrong things and by not staying spiritually healthy. And if you're right with God and pursuing spiritual things, the world is a very lonely place. It's a place of great loneliness for anyone who strives after spirituality. You'll find it to be a lonely place even amongst God's people. If you truly strive for spirituality, the one who truly strives for spirituality makes even God's people uncomfortable, makes the world mad, and makes many of God's people uncomfortable, and the world becomes a very lonely place. And again, it's a very unsettled place. But it's in the midst of all of that that Psalm 23 applies. It's in the midst of all of that that we can live our lives in Psalm 23. What a wonderful, wonderful way to live. What a wonderful way to wake up every morning. Psalm 23. To wake up every morning in Psalm 23. To go through every day in Psalm 23, knowing what that means. So we see the setting of the psalm. The setting is this world. It's this world. Look at the time frame. What time does the psalm cover? We find that out in verse 6. All the days of my life. All the days of my life. Now there's many implications in that phrase as well. Our lives, of course, are made up of days. All the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then after that's over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. We can live Psalm 23 all the days of our life, and then when we live our final day, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So consider this phrase, all the days of my life. It's a phrase that contains much uncertainty. The phrase speaks of the time frame, the length of our lives. And this is uncertain to man. None of us know how many days our life consists of. None of us know. We may get to the end where it becomes very obvious that our days are few. In hospice, or a doctor or a nurse or may say, I don't think they'll make it through the day, or certainly not tomorrow. 2 weeks later, they're saying the same thing. You just don't know. Days, the number of our days are uncertain. They're a mystery. Everything about a day has some mystery, some uncertainty about it. It is declared there in Job 14. Well, let's turn there. Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Man that is born of a woman. That's everybody. You didn't get here unless you were born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman is a few days. And those are full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. Great hope. And is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow. And continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, they've already been set. The number of his months are with thee. God's the only one who knows. No one else knows. Thou hast appointed his bounds, speaking of his days, the number of his days. They have been determined. they have been appointed that he cannot pass. He cannot pass that number of days that God has determined. So we see here that our days are limited. Our days are numbered. Some will say that person's days are numbered. That's true of everyone. Our days are numbered. Now it's clearly stated in Proverbs 27 verse 1 that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. What that to boast is to be confident. We're not to be, it's to be sure. It's to be certain. We're not to be so certain about tomorrow. Most are. Most sitting here are very confident of tomorrow. But we're not to be. We're not to be confident of tomorrow. And here's why. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. We have plans and we think we know what's going to happen. But the truth is, we don't know for sure. We have plans for today. We have plans for tomorrow. Some of us have plans through the week. But we don't know. We do not know what a day may bring forth. In other words, we do not know what is contained in a single day. But whatever it is, Psalm 23 applies all the days of my life. No matter how many days that be. And may I say, the person who dies relatively young, humanly speaking, but lives in Psalm 23, has lived a much fuller life than the person who lives to a ripe old age and doesn't live in Psalm 23. That's what the Bible means when it says so-and-so lived and his days were full. His days were full. So, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We all know that truth. We all know that. But we often fail to live it. It reveals, that statement reveals that there is an uncertainty as to the number of our days. We don't know. And there is an uncertainty as to the events of any given day. How often we are surprised by the events of a day. We weren't planning on that. But once again, that could happen any day. There's no certainty as to the events on any given day. But whatever the number of days we have, whatever events transpire in those days, we can live in Psalm 23. All the days of my life. All the days of my life. The phrase contains uncertainty. In that phrase is great variety. Not every day is the same. Days contain great variety. Now we said every day is not the same, and that is true, but there is a repetitive process about our days. But they're not all the same. There are repetitive processes. We get up a certain time. Sun comes up a certain time, goes down a certain time. There's repetitive processes, but they're not the same. Days, there can be a wide spectrum of activities. Look at your life. Now, we can't remember, of course, all of our days. But if we could, we would see that our lives have been made up of a wide spectrum of activities, a wide spectrum of occurrences. And there can be a wide spectrum of activities and occurrences on any given day. We all have an idea of what we're going to do tomorrow. But we may find ourselves in an activity that we did not plan on. You may find yourself sitting in a funeral home tomorrow. You didn't plan on it, but you may be there tomorrow. Planning a loved one's funeral. So in a given day, there can be many different activities. And these activities can go from one extreme to another. Again, I could use as an example, I have gone in the same day within hours or minutes from a funeral home to a birthing room in a hospital. Quite a wide range. And that happens in all of our lives. The range of the spectrum of activities can be extreme. In the span of a day, or over the course of our days, there are joys. Now, if we're honest, we have not been joyful every single day, even since we've been saved. But in a day, there can be joys, there can be heartaches, there can be sorrows. In a day, there can be enjoyment. In a day, there can be distress. There are days that are just convenient. I mean, everything just kind of falls in place how we had envisioned it, and everything just is working as we thought it should, and it's a convenient day for us. Then there are days that are inconvenient. We had our plans, and nothing is going according to plan. Not one thing is going according to our schedule or our plan. That's a day of inconvenience. But again, the psalm covers all the days of our life. And this is what's so wonderful about the Word of God. It's what's so wonderful about Psalm 23. Days do not dictate the truth of God's Word. No matter what kind of day it is, it does not change God's Word. And it does not change where we can live. It does not change the fact that we can live in Psalm 23. Now, people use excuses all the time. Well, I wanted to serve the Lord, but, and here we go, as if days would not allow them to do so. That's false. That's false. Amen. Every single day, I can live in Psalm 23. I may fail to live there tomorrow, but if God gives me Tuesday, I can get back there. So just because, don't carry, we're going to fail. The mistake that most people make is that they carry their failure of this day over to the next day. And that adds to the failures of that day. And then they carry that over to the next day, and that's their life. We don't have to live that way. He restoreth my soul. If we failed the Lord, go to God, confess it. He restoreth my soul. Don't carry that over. How foolish to the next day and just live the failure all over again, or the misery, or whatever. So again, this Psalm 23 life is a life that we can live. Talking about God's people, a lost man cannot live this life. It's a life that we can live every single day. And the day does not dictate whether or not I live in Psalm 23. My actions do, but the day, or my reactions, but the day does not. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the pictures that you give us in your word. We thank you, Lord, for Psalm 23. And we thank you, Lord, that many of us here know what this psalm means and that we have lived in this psalm. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to live our life in this psalm, that this psalm would be descriptive of the lives that we live here on this earth. We pray as we meet together here today, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you would draw us closer to thee, that you would cause us to be more like thee, that we would go from here closer to you. Pray for the lost, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.